Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30.
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Austin just gets stuck in the stunner!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for a Roman Reigns heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. It is Thursday, May 31st, 2018, and I want to thank you guys for joining me. Been quite a while since I've joined you, and really over the last few months I know I haven't really gotten to as many recording sessions as I'd like to and be able to connect with you guys over what's going on in WWE. And that is because if you listened to me before, you know that my wife is pregnant, and over the weekend we had our first baby. So that clearly has taken priority over anything else in my life, and it's been awesome. It's been exhausting. All of the above, everything that you probably have heard anyone ever say about having a baby, that is what my life is right now. And I'm trying to find some time. Actually, right now I am live on the road to the grocery store playing dad. But you know what? I love talking about wrestling. That's why I'm here. That's why this podcast exists. And over the last really few months, even when I have been able to find time to talk to you guys, it's been really diving into a single issue. And this show, while it used to be a more comprehensive, play-by-play, segment-by-segment for every show of SmackDown, Raw, every pay-per-view, lately I've been just diving into some issues in depth and really giving my unfiltered, unapologetic opinions about them. And that is what the last few months have really been. And I would really encourage you guys to go back and listen to them. It has been quite the journey, and quite the rants that I've gone on are, I'm not doing them to elicit a rating or get views or get the clicks or the number of plays and listens and listening, total listening hours. It's more for you guys to hear about the passion that I have for wrestling. And again, unapologetically, there are some things I've said that most of you would probably be saying, what is wrong with this dude? What is wrong with him? Is he really saying this? And you know what? Everything I've said is 100% true from my brain, for better or worse. And everything I've said has been me, authentic and unapologetic. And I hope you guys enjoy it. I know that I have a lot of loyal listeners, and I appreciate those of you who have stuck with me from my ever-evolving format, from a very comprehensive, a comprehensive rundown of every show that used to run even 45 minutes to an hour, to now a more in-depth version. And maybe that'll continue. I'm going to try to be more regular. I'm taking the next couple of weeks off to, as I said, really spend time with the baby and the wife, and find the new normal, right? Whatever that new normal is, that is what I'm in the hunt for. So if you haven't listened to me before, I appreciate you giving me a try. I can be found on Apple Podcasts, on Spreaker. Those are the best two. So obviously if you have an iPhone, Apple Podcasts is your a place to go. And if you don't have an iPhone, Spreaker is your place to go, and probably many other podcast apps. If you have Downcast and Podbay or whatever else is out there, there are tons of third-party podcast applications, and I will bet you a good amount of money I'm probably there in some form or fashion. So please rate and review me on iTunes or any other place that allows reviews. It does help out the show. It helps me out tremendously, so I would appreciate that. And many of you have done that, and I appreciate the time you guys take to listen and comment. Please follow me on Twitter if you want to give any feedback, or just shoot the breeze, or tell me the good or the bad or the indifferent about the show. And that is at the WWE podcast. That's the underscore WWE underscore podcast. Some other clown has the WWE podcast with no spaces, no hyphens, no widgets, no wingdings, nothing in between. Unfortunately, underscores were the best I could do. So follow me there, and I'd love to be able to interact with you. So there are a few things I want to touch on and that I want to share with you guys in depth, and some of the things I felt a little passionate about over the past couple of weeks of Monday Night Raw. And I'm going to start with last week. I'm going to get to this week. And the reason I want to touch on last week is because Raw was emanating from my hometown. That is Albany, New York. And for obvious reasons, I wasn't able to attend. But it was a show that I really don't regret missing. It was a show where we saw a historically bad segment in Bobby Lashley and his sisters, and Sami Zayn and his sisters. It was historically bad. It was up there with the gobbledygooker. It was up there with Bayley, This Is Your Life. The Shockmaster. I mean, go down the list. It is up there with some of the bad moments of Monday Night Raw. And cringeworthy. Yes, Sami Zayn, cringeworthy. It was all of the above. Terrible. And you can just feel Vince McMahon was the brainchild behind this, sitting behind the scenes with his headset on, giggling to himself while everyone else looks on with their hand on their head, shaking their head, saying, why? As Vince McMahon cracks himself up with three grown men dressed as women. I don't know what this was supposed to accomplish. Again, I don't like to pile on when everyone else piles on because it's easy to do. But when something is that bad, it's hard to not mention it. So yes, it was historically bad, but to WWE's credit, they did at least pull back on some of that this week and gain some traction. That is not saying much, considering that when you have a bar that low, anything as a follow-up is considered an improvement. It's almost impossible to be as bad as it was the following week. And now you have a segment with Sami Zayn and coming out. And by the way, he's been getting quite a few long promos. Anybody else notice this? It's been run-on promos that WWE is allowing him to go on. And I don't understand the reason for it. I don't know why they're attacking Bobby Lashley's family on this, his three sisters. I think it's kind of become a life of its own, and not necessarily in a good way. This has been one of the stranger programs for WWE. And I don't know, understand really what they're doing here, but at least this segment was tolerable, with Bobby coming out and saying, the Happy Memorial Day to any fellow veterans, active service members, anybody affected, or anybody who knows anybody who's been in the military. And that's a cool thing, I guess. I mean, it's hard to boo that. And that's a safe bet. It's a safe play by WWE. Because, again, it's very difficult to boo that. And they really want to get Bobby Lashley over as a babyface, where he lost a ton of ground over the previous 2 weeks with his sit-down interview with Renee. And then the just historically bad Three Sisters and Sami Zayn segment that emanated from my hometown of Albany, New York, I am not proud of that. I will tell you, this is not something that we want to go down in the history of Albany, New York, and we do not want to be known for this. So, that is that's just one positive thing I do want to say, and that is, you know, again, they gained a little bit of traction back for the Sami Zayn versus Bobby Lashley at Money in the Bank. Now, am I looking forward to Sami Zayn versus Bobby Lashley now because of this past Monday? No, not in any form or fashion. However, what's going to save this match are the experiences of both men. They're veterans. They know what they're doing. They will have a solid, sound in-ring the in-ring psychology will be there. It will be a formidable match. I don't expect anything earth-shattering to happen. I think, and I hope, that after Money in the Bank, this rivalry is never spoke of again. I hope that it becomes a Katie Vick part two. And what I mean by that is we all just pretend it didn't happen. You know, like Kofi's accent or Lana's accent as of late. It just suddenly doesn't exist. And that is the approach that I think WWE should take with this. That it just never existed, ever. So, let's move on to something even better. And that's not sarcastic. I'm trying to hit on some of the high points here because I don't want the show to be all about negativity. And if you listen to me in the past, you know that I tend to go on really passionate, long, drawn-out rants. And a lot of them, I'd say 75 to 80% of them, are driven towards Roman Reigns. And it's, you know what? I don't want people to get the wrong idea about me as a wrestling fan. And about me trying to make this show all about bitching about the product of WWE and what they're doing wrong. When I go on a rant, when I feel that passion, that's because I want the product to improve. You don't rant and hear somebody talk about a specific issue for an extended period of time if they didn't truly feel and have a real feeling and strong opinion about something going on in WWE. And it's, again, I don't like to curse, although sometimes I feel it's warranted, and I've put explicit on some of my episodes. But I do it because I want to see the product improve. I don't do it because it's all about negativity and all about gaining listeners based off of my rants. It's not about that. It's me, for better or worse, coming from my own brain and guts and giving my honest opinions on things. So that's why I'm going to talk about something positive on purpose. And that is a surprising positive in Nia Jax versus Ronda Rousey. Now, if you were to give me a report card for Ronda Rousey since her debut at the Royal Rumble, and you gave me categories to check her off in performance, in-ring performance, promo ability, and the it factor, which you can't teach. It's either there or it's not. Her it factor, check. This woman is an MMA legend. She arguably, not in undisputed, but arguably was one of the, or could be, the biggest female or male MMA fighter of all time. She should be commended for what she did in MMA, especially as a female. She did break the glass ceiling. She was badass. She drew a lot of money for UFC. A lot of money for UFC. And the amount of pay-per-view buys that she garnered for UFC, the attention, the eyeballs, really the crossover audiences that she brought in, not just from WWE, but from other sports as well, being highlighted on ESPN and many other sports outlets. You have to give Ronda Rousey, I mean, the props that she deserves. And bringing that and translating it into WWE is not necessarily a slam dunk, but I believe she's brought that it factor with her. She has instant credibility. She has that look about her So check for the it factor. In-ring performance. Again, a very small sample size, but from what we've seen, she's only had one official match at WrestleMania. However, given it was her first match ever, given it was the biggest stage ever, the pressure was on, I think she performed at the best possible level she could have ever, anybody could have ever expected from her in-ring debut. Yes, she's an MMA experienced fighter, but the WWE style is a whole different ball game. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to take your skills from MMA and translate them successfully into what WWE requires you to have and be and do inside of the ring. So I think that she did it better than anybody could have ever expected. Again, the sample size is very small, but she's also had some physicality on Raw, quick, but effective. And overall, I would give her in-ring performance an A. There's just no other way that you could analyze or really give a bad report on her in-ring performances other than saying her sample size is extremely small, which admittedly it is. But if she was able to perform the way she did at WrestleMania, at the quality she did, yes, she had three supporting cast members in Triple H, Angle, and Stephanie, but again, it was, I think, very... It was as positive as it could have been. So check. The third, promo. Her promo skills. Admittedly, this is her weakest point. But could anybody have ever expected anything else? This is probably the most difficult to master because it requires intellect. It requires you to not just memorize your lines, but take those lines and put your own feelings and thoughts into them so it doesn't feel like you're reading lines and you are speaking from your own brain. Not easy to do. You've had men and women in WWE there for years and years and years, and they still come out and they still feel like they're reading off of a script that they just read 10 minutes before going out live on Raw. So that'll come with time. I think that is a skill that is going to be honed. I think she's starting to find her voice. Less is more with Ronda at times, and I so far I would have to give her an overall B+ as an overall report since her debut at the Royal Rumble this past year. So now let's get to Monday Night Raw. She comes out. She has a contract signing with Nia Jax, and this is last Monday Night, by the way. You have Stephanie McMahon there. And the only problem I have with this is Stephanie always has to be booked, unless it's WrestleMania season, always has to be booked to be the untouchable authority figure. Nobody can speak up against her. Nobody gets the last laugh. Everyone just takes her abuse. She has to wear heels so that she towers over everybody in the ring. Her demeanor is really hurts the credibility of the performers in the ring. It's condescending. That's the word I was looking for. She's condescending to everyone and everything she meets when she's on Raw. Now, without Stephanie there for the contract signing last week, I think that would have been a very different result when you look at Ronda Rousey versus Nia Jax, who both are fairly green and especially cutting long form promos with a sit down contract signing. So Stephanie there to mitigate and irritate both parties was a smart move. You have Ronda there and you have Nia Jax there, and Stephanie speaking for both of them. While I didn't like it and I would like them to have their own voices themselves, I think that speaks to the fact that WWE simply didn't trust them at this point. And Stephanie is, as much as I dislike her untouchable authority figure that she plays on TV, don't forget she plays a bad guy on TV. Her Twitter profile will tell you that. She is a very good promo. She gets it. She has been a good promo almost since day one when she aligned herself with Triple H back in 98, 99. And so, overall, I think that was a smart move. And this past Monday night with Ronda and Nia Jax, to me, That was a breakout performance for Nia Jax. That, to me, was the turning point in her career. And that's I don't take that lightly. She made the match at the Money in the Bank, the Women's Championship match, go from, do I really want to see this, to, yeah, I kind of want to see this. Telling Ronda, this is how I'm going to counter your move. This is what I'm going to do. You've never faced anyone like me. You've never, faced somebody as powerful as me. Well, when you look at WrestleMania, she picked Triple H up, but we're all going to forget that. How is Ronda going to beat Nia Jax? And Ronda sat there with a very, stern look, got in the ring. Nia didn't back down. Nia made herself feel like a formidable contender. And I'm looking forward to this match. That was almost heelish by Nia Jax. That you could almost consider that a heel turn for Nia Jax. To me, she shouldn't come out there smiling. She should just come out there and be who she is, which is this unstoppable force. Because everyone's got to have a nickname. All of a sudden, one week, they're just like, Nia Jax is just the unstoppable force. A few months ago, they're just like, let's call her the unstoppable force. Okay, yeah, that's great. Just like, let's call Roman Reigns the big dog. Which, where did that come from? I mean, it's like Vince McMahon's like, everybody's got to have a nickname. And they just decide and then just say it week after week after week. And they just think that repetitiveness will result in acceptance from the fans. And I don't know. It just, sometimes it feels so forced. If they happen organically, it just feels so much better. And the fans will accept it much more freely. Nonetheless, I can feel myself teetering on a rant. So I will stop. But overall, I really would give Ronda versus Nia, especially, both credit goes to both women this past week. I think that was a very good segment. Not awesome, not great, but very good and productive, and a turning point in Nia Jax's career, if you ask me. And so those are my thoughts. I know there's a lot of other things going on. You have Bray Wyatt and Matt Hardy with the tag team championships. You have a dance-off. My God, you have a dance-off on SmackDown Live. Is this? Are they going to bring back the Divas title? I mean, it's just ridiculous. So that is happening. I know that I watched SmackDown Live, so I'll give my thoughts on that later this week. Again, I'm off for the next couple weeks. So I just wanted to check in with you guys. I appreciate all the listens. I know that you'd like me to do some more long-form shows, and I'm going to try to do that. But as I said, things are crazy right now with the new baby in the house. So, all right, guys, that is all I have for now. If you have questions, suggestions, maybe even want to pop on the show. I know I've had some suggestions and requests of late from people, and I am open to that in the future. I'd like to start doing that as I get back to my new normal, whatever that may be. So again, please follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. Please rate and review me on iTunes, which is really Apple Podcasts now. And I will talk to you next time.